more information on what you've heard? Have a travel question or comment? Just log on to petergreenberg.com. Now, here's Peter.
Peter Greenberg back with you as Ion Travel continues from the Sheraton downtown here in Denver, Colorado. You know the drill. Always email. You'll find me, peter@petergreenberg.com, with your name, phone number, question or problem, and we'll solve it right here on the air. Let's go out to the phones up in Loves Park, Illinois, not far from Rockford. I know Rockford pretty well. I've got Jody on the phone. Hello, Jody.
Hi, Peter. How are you today?
I am doing just fine. How can I help you?
Well, I am really confused. I listen to the news every day about airfares, the scarcity of jet fuel, airlines rescheduling, you know, making changes in their schedules. I'm going to fly into Ohio at the end of October. And my question is, do I buy airline tickets now, or do I wait this out and get them closer to the end of October?
Well, you know, I go back to my days when I was going to school not far from you in Madison, Wisconsin. And if I had to go to Ohio, I'd drive, but you know that. But if, as long as we're talking about...
I am going with a friend. She doesn't want to drive. She wants to fly. So that's what we're going to be doing.
Okay, so let's talk about flying. Everything you point out is actually happening as we speak when it still deals with oil prices, gas prices, airlines cutting schedules, slashing flights, and, of course, airfares going up in the process. All of that is happening now, and it's showing no signs of stopping, even if they figure out the oil supply. So here's my suggestion. Right now, you're sort of betting on this. You're going to hedge your bets. You're going to go ahead and buy your ticket now. Then you're going to monitor the fares. Because if the fares drop between now and October, and they drop substantially, I'm assuming you're buying this on a U.S. carrier, of course you are, and you're buying it with a credit card, of course you are, then you go ahead and cancel that flight, get a credit for the full amount that you paid for, then reapply that credit immediately to the same flight at a lower fare, and get a credit for the residual that you can use for something else.
Okay, so I am able to cancel my flight if the flights do drop after monitoring them, and I could just reschedule at a lower fare.
Right, and then you get a residual for the difference that you can use against another ticket. Now, the only caveat I got to give you is if you buy the ticket now, right, we're 5 months away, that means that when you do get that credit back, and even the residual amount, you're normally going to get it to use for a year, but it's a year from the time you bought the ticket, not a year from the time you canceled it. So you're still okay. Just know that if you cancel it in October and you want to rebook it and you get that residual credit, then that residual credit has about a six-month lifespan, not a year. That's all.
Great, great. That really answers my questions because there's just so much information going on out there about this.
Well, I'm glad you called up, and hopefully we can help. And thanks again for the call.
Thank you.
You got it, Jody. Thanks
Bye
again.
Now.
And back out on the phones, this time to West Los Angeles, California. I've got Jan on the phone. Hello, Jan.
Hi there.
It's Peter.
I have seen these advertisements on internet sites to find cheap business class tickets. The way I prefer to fly. Do you recommend any of these sites?
Well, who's doing these ads? Do you know the names?
One is RatePunk, and the other is Skyscanner.
All right, and do you know where you want to fly?
Europe.
And do you know when you want to fly?
No.
Okay. This is key, and I'll tell you why. Because what you're dealing with is a sort of a game where airlines will claim that they do not dump tickets or discount business class tickets. In fact, they do. But they do it in a very heavily restricted manner, meaning you'll see these ads, and you mentioned RatePunk and Skyscanner, and there are others, that will say to you that instead of a $5,000 ticket, it'll be like $3,400. And it sounds pretty good. And then you go online and you fill out all the forms that you want to fill out with them. And yes, it is $3,400, but it's on an airline that when they give you the ticket, has very, very specific restrictions and endorsements on the ticket. It's good only for that flight, only on that date, and only on that airline. It's not refundable. It's not interchangeable. It's not changeable at all. So as long as you understand those rules, it limits your flexibility, of course. And for example, if that flight doesn't operate that day and you need to get out because you have a business meeting, you're not going. So, and maybe that airline doesn't fly to where you want to go in Europe every single day. So as long as you understand those limitations, and especially as long as you pay with a credit card, so you're protected in case they don't operate, then go for it.
Okay, that answers my questions. I always buy refundable tickets, so it's not for me.
Right, that's the difference. But at least you understand what you're up against, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jan, and thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
And you know, Jan's call is interesting because if you have tremendous flexibility and you can roll with it, then you can get a discounted business class ticket from a third party. Now, a discounted business class ticket from the airline itself is another story. But what she's talking about are third parties that are getting essentially dumped tickets from the airlines that are heavily restricted. In fact, when they give you the ticket, it might even show the full fare. So they comply with kind of, you know, other airline restrictions. But doesn't mean it's a discounted ticket if you want to exchange it, because you can exchange it. Now you know. Back with more from Denver right after this.
Please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. Eye on Travel will be right back. Been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
And we're back from the Denver Sheraton Downtown Hotel right here in Denver, Colorado, as Eye on Travel continues. Peter Greenberg here with you. And of course, you know the drill. You want to find me? You email me, peter@petergreenberg.com, with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. In fact, let's go out to the phones in Wheaton, Illinois. I've got Joy on the phone. Hello, Joy.
Hello, Peter.
So what's going on?
My husband and I have scheduled a trip to France, leaving on May 10th, returning on May 26th. They're flying into Charles de Gaulle in Paris. We're concerned with the war in Iran and the disruption of the oil shipments. Are we going to end up getting stranded in Europe?
Well, by the way, if you're going to get stranded, France is not such a bad idea, but we'll get to that in a second.
No, it isn't.
No,
it isn't.
You know that. And who are you flying? Who are you flying to Charles de Gaulle? Which airline?
American Airlines.
All right, so you're going nonstop.
Correct.
Okay. You know what? You'll be fine. Remember, in the worst case scenario, they were talking about running out of fuel in 6 weeks. Well, we're not even at the third week yet, and you're going in a week, so you're going to be fine.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, you already have your round-trip ticket. It is a round-trip ticket, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Returning on May 26th.
Okay. I'll give you a worst-case scenario. A worst-case scenario is American Airlines can't get their fuel shipments, but they're part of the One World Alliance, so they'll fly you back through London on British Air, or they'll fly you back on Iberia through Madrid, or they'll fly you back on Finnair through Helsinki. You're not going to be stranded in Paris, okay?
Okay. Very
and then,
good.
And here's
very
the other good news. You said, now, you're not just going to Paris, are you?
No, we're going to do multiple towns in the Normandy area. We're traveling by train.
Perfect. Well, listen, you're going to love that. And the two things you're going to love in Normandy, other than Normandy, they've got the best oysters and they've got the best butter. So you're going to eat well and get a couple of baguettes for me.
Okay, I will.
But listen, you're going to be fine. This is not going to be an issue. Of all the flights that American might cancel because of a fuel problem, that's not one of them.
That's great news.
Yeah, what the airlines are doing, just so you know, is they're doing a triage of their schedule so that they're canceling as many of the short-haul flights as they can that are not necessarily profitable but consume fuel. Their long-haul trips, especially at that time of the year, those are the last to go. So I think you're going to be fine, okay?
Well, that's great news.
And have a great time.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call or my email.
You got it. Joy, we appreciate it. Thanks again for the call.
Bye-bye.
Now let's go to some emails you guys have sent in. Here's one from Michelle who writes, I know you have said that JetBlue is in debt. Yes, I have. And by the way, they're still in debt. She writes, I have trips booked with them in June to Denver and August to Aruba. Should I make alternate flight arrangements for those two flights in case they go bankrupt? Well, let me give you the good news and the somewhat concerning news. Here's the good news first. JetBlue was facing, even though they deny it, they were facing the possibility of a bankruptcy filing for Chapter 11 simply because their debt load, I said they were in debt, I'm not kidding, their debt load was more than $8 billion. They were spending, and still are spending, $600 million a year just in interest on that debt. But since February 28th, the 70% spike in fuel is taking that debt close to $9 billion. So what did they do? About 2 weeks ago, they pledged 20 of their planes as collateral to secure a $500 million loan, which they got. And then they made the announcement that they're not going to file. They're going to be flying through the rest of 2026. So I think you're going to be okay. All right, enjoy it. Enjoy Denver and enjoy Aruba. And let me know what happens, okay? But right now, you're okay. All right, here's one from Steve who writes, I don't own a car. I haven't driven since 1997, so rental cars are not an option. I wonder if there is a source for a legitimate chauffeur to drive me around Minnesota for a week. I've used Uber and buses, but they do not go to the places I want to visit. Well, I'll give you a qualified answer here, Steve. There are chauffeur services, but they become relatively extravagantly expensive. And for insurance reasons, you can't just hire a college kid to drive you around. That doesn't work either. I'm assuming since you haven't driven since 1997, you don't possess a current driver's license. I think that may be your issue. So if that's the case, what you need to do is call a local hotel. You haven't told me where in Minnesota, but ask if they use a car service or even a taxi service in their local community that can drive you around to where you need to go for a flat rate. See if you can negotiate a flat rate. That's your answer. And I'll make you a bet you can. That would be my guess. An Uber is not going to help you unless you're doing short-term within a city. But a taxi service, as opposed to a chauffeur service, might be your answer, especially if it's a local cab company and they have drivers who want the extra income. That's how I would do it in each of those little small towns you're going to. But then again, you didn't tell me where you're going. You said drive around Minnesota. So that would be my suggestion. And for those people who have a similar problem where you're not, possessing a driver's license, but you want to go somewhere, even overseas, the solution there is exactly the same. Only there what you do is you call the concierge at the hotel in that small town you want to go to in Europe and ask them if they have a taxi service that would like to cut you a deal. Again, the emphasis being on the words, flat rate. Okay? That's the deal. If you do that, you'll be in much better shape. All right, there you go. Or I'll drive you around. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, that music means we're out of time for this hour. Stick around. We got a whole lot more coming as Eye on Travel continues from the Sheraton Hotel right here in downtown Denver in the Mile High City right after this.
You've been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production. Been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
Peter Greenberg back with you as Eye on Travel continues from the Sheraton Hotel right here in downtown Denver. Of course, you know how to reach me. You know the drill by now. You just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem, and we will solve it right here on the air. Let's go to some of the emails that have come in. Here's one from Rick who writes, I'm finalizing plans for a river cruise from Budapest to Germany on the Danube. By the way, the Danube is not blue, just thought I'd tell you. With a final stay in Prague, we're debating acquiring the needed currencies ahead of time or using an ATM upon arrival. I believe we need euro. Well, yeah, you do. And of course, Hungarian forint as well. But here's the deal. You do not want to exchange U.S. dollars for foreign currency in the United States. You get a terrible exchange rate and you don't want to do it. You don't need to do it. Here's what you want to do. three different things. Number one, do what I do. Go to your local bank. You might want to call them ahead of time to make sure they have these in stock and get about $200 in $2 bills. You'll use those for tipping and they'll make an impression. And they're legal tender. They're fun. They're conversation pieces. Then for your bigger expenses where they'll only take cash, and there are very few places that do that, but still you want that, or for other tips, then you double check with your issuing bank on the ATM card that you have and find out two things. One, do they charge you a fee for using a third-party ATM? Or will they rebate that fee and make it free? There are a lot of credit card companies or banks that actually offer that service. And then also ask them, if you're going to use that ATM card for anything, is there a foreign transaction fee? Now, most importantly, you never want to use the ATM card for a foreign for any kind of purchase because of that foreign transaction fee. Or to use it as identification or to put a deposit down for a hotel room, because they're going to block those charges. It'll take you between 10 and 14 business days to get that money back. But if you have an ATM card that doesn't charge you a fee or rebates any private third-party ATM machine from that fee, then that's where you do it. But then where do you do it once you get there? You don't do it at the airport, and you don't do it from any, like, you know, streetwise or unstreetwise ATM. Go to a local bank there. You're going to get the same exchange rate they're giving their customers, and you're only taking out what you need when you need it without fear of having to pay a rate every time you do it. And you get a much better exchange rate since you're only taking out what you need. All right? That's how you do it. Don't do it in the U.S. Find an ATM card from an issuing bank or financial institution that doesn't charge you fees to use the ATMs, and then you're in business. I hope that helps. All right. Let's go to one from Lori, who writes, I wonder about MCT. I know what she's talking about. Minimum connection times. She says, I wonder what you think are my options for, in my case. I booked a reward flight from Tucson, Arizona to Nice, France for August 1. It's Air France, but flying with Delta, otherwise known as a code share, the dreaded code share flight. At first, the single layover in Atlanta was 90 minutes. Kind of a unicorn flight. One connection and no wasted time. But now they've pushed back my Arizona to Atlanta leg, so I only have 40 minutes to connect and change terminals. It's not possible. No kidding. Here we go again. And the problem with that is it gets compounded because she writes, I've called a change, but they're calling it a voluntary change and don't want to help. Other flights are hard connections, 9 hours in Atlanta, or 2 and 3 separate connections and an additional 6 hours in travel. Okay, here's the deal. Whoever you're getting on the phone is not helping you. Ask to speak to a supervisor. They're the one, look, Delta's the one that changed the flight. They went from a 90-minute connect time to a 40-minute connect time. You didn't ask for that. They did that, right? Right. Number one. Number two, because you're on a mileage ticket, they think they can get away with that because you don't, you know, you're not paying for it. Believe me, you paid for that ticket. How many miles did you fly to get it? So get somebody else on the phone and get that original 90-minute connect time. If it doesn't exist, get a better connect time, nothing with 2 to 3 connections or that dreaded 9-hour layover. That's the way to do it. But a 40-minute connect time, you're absolutely right, Lori. You can't do that. And how much, you know, how are your bags going to connect? Even though Atlanta is a pretty efficient operation for Delta, I wouldn't count on it. So that's what you're going to do. And then, if you got a problem, if they still won't help you, and I have no idea what they mean by saying it's a voluntary change, you didn't change it. They changed it. It's involuntary. They should know the difference. If you have a problem, you write me again, peter@petergreenberg.com. We still have time because you're not going till August. And I'll do what I can to help you. But get somebody else on the phone. They should know better than to do that, right? And by the way, they do it all the time. But you know what? Whether you're on a mileage ticket or a paid ticket, a 40-minute MCT, minimum connect time, is no minimum. It's delusional. It doesn't work, especially on an international flight. And you should give yourself, especially in today's age where airlines are slashing flight schedules and combining flights and messing with their frequencies, you got to give yourself between 90 minutes and 2 hours between flights, because if your first flight's late, you're going to get a whole lot longer layover, aren't you? Like a day. You want to do that in Atlanta. So get them back on the phone. Explain this is not a voluntary change. It's an involuntary change. And you didn't do it. They did. It's under their control. They're responsible for giving you a reasonable MCT, otherwise known as minimum connect time. Or how about this, an RCT, a reasonable connect time. You got it? All right, let me know. By the way, that music means you're out of time for the whole show. I want to thank Amanda Morris, our producer, Jeff Ryder doing the boards back in Connecticut, Anthony Protus Chung for doing all the things that he does, and of course the entire staff right here at the Sheraton Downtown Denver here in Colorado. Thanks for having us, and we'll see you next time, everybody, from another location somewhere around the world.
You've been listening to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Ion Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.